Welcome to the River Church Podcast.
We're all about bringing the life, hope, and love of Jesus to everyone around us.
For more information, check out our website at river-church.uk.
Good morning. What a great morning. Guys, if you don't know who I am, if you don't know who I am, then I'm Colin. I'm a youth and community worker here. If you do know who I am, I'm so sorry. You're going to have to put up with me again this morning. I just want to say, guys, this is a great day to be here. I don't know if you've come here for the first time. If maybe this is the first time you've set foot in church. If you have, you're meant to be here. Okay? God doesn't do mistakes. God doesn't do accidents. God draws people to the place they need to be. And so if you're a visitor here, you are super welcome. Maybe it was a bit nerve-wracking coming here. I remember when I first came here, I was really stressed. Do you know what I was stressed about? I was stressed about what to wear. Okay? So I didn't know what the way of doing it was, so I put on a suit, obviously. Put on a full suit, nice shine my shoes and stuff. And then I brought a tie in my pocket because I didn't want to go too far. Do you know what I mean? Anyway, I turned up. I think I was the best dressed person at the church that day. The pastor was wearing jeans that were a bit ripped. Mine are actually not ripped and stuff. But yeah, that was the situation. My expectations were a little bit off. What are your expectations about church? Have you met Christians before? Have you come to church before? What are your expectations? As time goes on and I spend more time knowing about Jesus and learning and growing in that relationship, I realise that my expectations often get a bit smashed and raised and changed. And I hope that maybe some of those expectations you might have might change a little bit today. For example, I'm not doing a big long preach today. This is going to be a bit more of a conversation, a bit more of a shorter chat. But I hope to be able to just impart to you something of who Jesus is. Because there was a time when I did not know Jesus. There's a time I did not want Jesus. There was a time where I was completely opposite and away from Jesus. And I met him. And everything changed. Maybe things will change for you today. Before we get into all that sort of stuff, though, I'm going to get some audience participation. I want to ask you a big question, and it's probably the biggest question anyone's going to ever ask. Who is Jesus? If you were to answer that, if someone asked you right now, who is Jesus, what would you say? You're eager. I can see you're eager. But like, if someone asked you, who is Jesus? If you were to think, what would people say who Jesus is? What would you say? Turn to the person next to you. Or you can just reflect yourself. What would you say? Take a minute, and then we're going to play a little video, and then we're going to carry on, okay? Go. Yeah. It's a big question. And in fact, it probably is the biggest question that anyone could ever ask. Because it's either the most, if Jesus is alive and Jesus did die and rise again, it's the most important thing in the world. If he didn't, doesn't matter. Now, there's loads of ways we can talk about this. And like I said, this is more of a chat than a big, deep, depth kind of dive into things. But I could talk to you about the evidence that there is for the resurrection and Jesus rising again, the eyewitness accounts. I could talk to you about various stories, but do you know what? As a church, we are a body who all have a story of how we got to know Jesus and how we are getting to know Jesus. And so rather than overcomplicate it, I'm just going to share to you how I got to know Jesus and the journey that I've taken with him in my life. Is that all right? Good stuff, thank you. I mean, if it's not, it's tough. I'm going to share it anyway. They've given me the mic, so there we go. So, as I said, I'll be really honest. I didn't grow up in a Christian household or anything like that. Didn't want Jesus, wasn't interested. It's a bit anti-God, actually. Found Christians quite annoying, to be honest. They kept kind of coming up and talking about this guy who had long hair. Did he have long hair? I don't know, we'll see. But actually, I think I felt quite self-sufficient in the way I did things. I didn't need Jesus. I was good. I wasn't like a big drug dealer or anything like that. I was quite nice generally. Well, when I wanted to be. But actually, I just wasn't interested whatsoever. I had my life sorted. And actually, if anyone pushed back, I think what it was when I looked at church and when I looked at some people, what I saw was maybe judgment. What I saw sometimes was boring. They talk about an exciting life and I didn't really see it. And honestly, I just felt they were a bit thick, frankly. You were not going to catch me in a church ever in my life. But I don't know. Maybe you felt that way. Maybe you feel that way right now. I bet you still pray though, because I did. I still prayed. It's funny how we know that we need help, because actually, you can be as self-sufficient as you want. You always come to the end. You come to the bit where you're powerless and you haven't got anything that you can do to change the situation. There was the most important time of this. I was going through quite a hard time in my life, a really, really difficult time. I won't go into sort of big details just for the sake of time, but I was low. And I do what any of us do when we don't know how to deal with something. I wanted to go and forget. So my mate invited me out for a drink. Well, a few too many drinks. So I went down the bottom of my hill, got to this bus stop, and I just sat there and waited. And as I was waiting, I'll be honest, I was sad. I don't know. What's the hard things that you've been through in your life? What's the hard things you're dealing with right now? Do you ever know what that's like? We just don't know what to do. You're stuck. And the whole I've got it sorted doesn't really work out. Well, I prayed and I said, God, I need help. And it's a really weird thing to do because, you know, he doesn't exist, does he? He's not real. I'm not going to be tricked by this sort of stuff, but I still prayed. I asked, I reached out, and then a big beaming light came down. No, that's not true. But what did happen, how do I describe it? You know when you're busy in a room doing something and someone comes in, you've not seen them, you've not heard them, but you know they're there. That is what happened. I suddenly knew that Jesus was there. And I'll tell you what else happened. I went from really miserable, really sad, really, I was crying. No, I'm not at the bus stop, thankfully, so it wasn't very embarrassing. But I went from crying to just the most serene peace that I've ever actually felt. When was the last time you felt that great relief and peace? This is the great thing about Jesus, is that you can have peace even in the midst of a storm. Think about when him and the disciples were on a boat and there was a storm, he just calmed the storm. And that's what he did in me. But you know what? It didn't stop there. It got a bit weird. I got on the bus and I got on the top deck. And actually that peace suddenly turned to joy. And I was just suddenly really happy. I don't know why. I was really happy, really smiling. I started laughing. This is really embarrassing. I was just laughing on the top deck of this bus. People around looking. I don't know what's going on. It's weird. But I couldn't ignore it. This sort of changed everything. And all I could, you know when something awkward happens? It's really awkward when you're an atheist and you sort of suddenly believe in God. It doesn't kind of match up very well, you know? But I was left with this situation where I was like, something just happened. I prayed and something happened. I don't know how to explain that. Now, like I said, it's a bit awkward. So I tried my best to ignore it. If I tried to ignore something important, maybe reminders on your calendar or, you know, maybe there's jobs. Men of you have been asked to do a job by your wife and sort of 6 months later, you still haven't done it. Yeah. Honestly, I'm the guiltiest one, that one. But I couldn't ignore it. It was too important. Other prayers I prayed, I tried to just pass off. And I seen something happen. I go, oh, no, it's fine. It's coincidence. I find more and more there are less coincidences when it comes to God as time moves on. I think some of you guys realise that as well. It's funny how God reaches out. So I did. I went and spoke to a friend of mine who actually went to this church. And I said, look, this has happened. It's a bit weird. What do you make of it? They said, sounds like Jesus, Colin. Sounds like, you know, a thing I've been telling you about for a while. Anyway, I came to church. And do you know, I again, my expectations were completely shot. My sense of church was just these boring people who just sort of, I haven't got anything better to do. You know, they sing really sort of boring. Oh, Jesus is nice and we love him. That sort of thing. You know, that's generally what my perception was. And then I came and I saw life. I saw warmth. You know, people who are just warm. I'm not talking temperature, you know what I mean. I saw warmth and I saw people excited about this. And what's more, I'm just to let you know something. I'm actually a bit critical. If you know me, you know I'm really lovely, I'm really wonderful, I'm really kind. If you know me really well, you know I'm a bit critical and a bit impatient and a bit particular about things. But I met people who were really big thinkers. I'd always thought, oh, you know, I'm scientific. I don't really kind of get into the faith stuff. Well, these guys were too. They thought about what they were serious. They weren't mucking around. And it left me, all the times I try and question people and kind of try and put Christians down in the past, these guys knew what they were all about. And I was looking kind of a bit like, oh, I'd not even thought about that. Anyway, I met up with the pastor at a time. He's not here today, but I met up with him. And actually, week on week, I just asked him questions. Do you know what I will say? If you're thinking about Jesus, if you're searching about Jesus, the biggest thing and the best thing, the most important thing you could probably do right now is ask questions. This is my personal invitation to you to be annoying to the people who've brought you, to prod them and to ask them all the questions that are going on, because that's how we learn and grow. And I learned, by asking these questions, I learned about Jesus. I learned about the gospel. I learned that God maybe wasn't who I thought he was. Wasn't this boring thing that didn't make any sense. It wasn't this weird sky fairy people had just made up. Actually, there was solid, concrete evidence. We're talking about the death and the resurrection today, and it's been so joyful just to focus and think about that. But it's probably the most confirmed fact in all history that Jesus died and he rose again. Even that alone, if someone dies and they rise again, you've got to take notice to what they're saying, didn't you? I can't do that. You know, other people can't do that. That's Jesus. That's all Jesus. So I learnt loads of stuff, and because of time, I'm not going to kind of go into all of it because you'll get bored. But here's a few things I did learn. I learnt that Jesus created all things. For in him, all things were created, in heaven and earth, visible, invisible. All things have been created through him and for him. Do you know what that means, guys? That means that you were not a mistake. You were made on purpose and for purpose. And not just that, but you were made with great care and great consideration. I don't know what you feel about yourself. I always struggle with negative thoughts. I struggle with maybe how I see myself. Jesus isn't like that. Jesus sees and knows me. So people say Jesus is watching. Jesus is watching because he cares, he loves. You know, I love seeing my son play. Jesus has that same care for us as adults, as people. And you know, there's another verse in Psalm 139. It's funny how you read this stuff and actually suddenly it starts to come alive. He says, you created my innermost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you because I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. You are really precious. You're made in the image of God. You are incredibly valuable. Do you know that today? Do you believe that today? Some people in your mind saying, no, that's not me. It's like, yes, that's you. Another thing I learned is that he listens and he speaks. God is not a distant God far off, away, but he hears and he listens. And when I prayed, even when I didn't know him, I didn't want him, he was still listening. I had no right to ask him to come and help me, but he did. Do you know why? Because he loves us. Why does he love us? I don't know. Because he does. It's not just that, he speaks into situations, he moves into situations. And actually, he's incredibly powerful. Like, this is another thing that really got me, is that God gets involved. I have seen things happen that shouldn't happen. I've seen miracles happen. God has involved me in praying for people to be healed, and I've seen that. There was a guy, I remember, he had arthritis in his knees for many years, and so I was at a conference and we were praying for him. And suddenly, as we're praying, he starts smacking his knee. And I'm a bit weirded out. I'm quite young at this time. I'm sort of more like sort of my early 20s. And I'm like, what are you doing? And he's like, I'm trying to make them hurt because for the last 5 years, I've been in constant pain and the pain is gone. Amen. Before, I would have heard that story and I would have gone, it's fake. It's all fake. Maybe that's what you maybe sort of think. It's fake news. Problem is, that doesn't hold up when you meet people, when you see it. They're not lying, you know? This is real. This is real stuff. But you know what? I think the biggest thing that I've learned about Jesus is that he understands me. He understands that while I'm flawed, while I fail, and I do fail, it's one of the hardest things, being honest, isn't it, with yourself. I think it's probably the hardest person to be honest with is yourself. Because the truth is, we've been singing all about our sins and our guilt and our shame and the problems that we face. If we're honest, none of us are perfect. We all miss the mark. We all get things wrong. And sometimes the best we have to offer is just to sort of ignore those or try to hide them away. Jesus doesn't try and hide them away. Jesus doesn't look away. He looks directly at you and he loves you. Imagine this. Imagine you're innocent, but you're accused of a crime and you get taken to court and you have a barrister who comes and they speak on your behalf. They protect you. They defend you. They provide evidence and you're set free and everything's exonerated and you're good. We all want that story, don't we? Let's tell the story again, but what if you're guilty? Do you want justice then? Do you know what? Jesus is still that same person, that same advocate. And he does defend us, but actually more than that, when the guilty verdict is given, he says, I'll take that on myself. That's what happened on the cross. So every time you've gone wrong, every time you've chosen your own way, every time you've caused harm to others, actually, when we put our trust in Jesus, he says, I'm taking that and you're taking my goodness, my righteousness, my record. Jesus lived a perfect sinless life. And that's the beautiful exchange that we're given. So that we can be set free from our shame, from our sin, from our guilt. I remember I was speaking to a guy in a bar, and we were just chatting about Jesus and stuff. And he said, "Oh, you know, I believe there's definitely God, definitely something, but he'd never want me." Why wouldn't he want you? It's like, I've done too much. The things I've done, too much. Do you know, people believe this. People think this. People think that they've done too much, that they're too far gone. And that makes me really sad because no one is too far gone. We've all got stories here. We know, don't we? We know what God has done in our lives. No one is too far gone for Jesus. Maybe you're sitting there thinking, yeah, I don't belong here. I'm too bad. God couldn't and shouldn't forgive. It's not true. And I'm really pleased that I got to share the truth with him that actually no one is too far gone. And we prayed and he received Jesus as his Lord and his Saviour because he found a better way. And I think that's ultimately my big testimony is I've not found a better answer to life, to the way I should walk, to who I am than Jesus. Not just because he's right, but he's present. Many of you will know when you're suffering, when you're finding things hard, actually words are not always the thing that make it better, but it's the present. It's the people who are there with you. You know, I know that as someone who preaches, people are going to forget most of what I say. People remember it when I'm there. And I'm so thankful that God is a God who is present in times of trouble. He is present at my darkest, at my weakest, at my ugliness. But through the cross, he removed my shame. He removed my guilt. He removed my sin so that I can be free to be everything I was made to be. It doesn't stop there, though, because actually, as we've been singing about all morning, he destroyed death. Death is that final enemy that no one can get over. Elon Musk hasn't got enough money to destroy death. But Jesus died and he rose again on the third day to show that death is now broken. Sin and shame, that broke the world. There was no way of fixing it. And actually, Jesus is the one who mended that relationship. He bridged the chasm so that we could be reunited with God and have eternal life. Probably the most famous verse in the Bible, maybe you've heard it, is John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. Who do you say Jesus is today? Where are you on that journey? It's a big deal, actually, to take that step. It's a big change, but life does give us little moments for change. And in a second, I'm just going to give you a moment to pray. You haven't got to pray out loud or anything. I'm going to say a prayer, and you can join with me in that. But beyond that, this isn't the finish line, okay? This is the starting point of the journey with Jesus. You know, I've shared you a bit of my story. Loads of people have stories in this room. And actually, we've got a bit of time, tea and coffee. We've got some fantastic art from Dari. I love the way he expresses just the gospel and the truth of God. This is the gift that God brings us on board with him. But today's the day to start the conversation. Maybe you've been busy. Maybe you've been nagging in your mind. Don't delay. Don't hold back. Start the conversation with Jesus. And I'd love to invite you to do it right now. So maybe if we could just bow our heads for a moment. As I say, I'm going to pray. And if in your own time, in your own sort of way, you can just repeat after me in your mind. And we'll start that conversation. Lord Jesus, thank you, God, that you are who you say you are. Thank you, God, that you died for me. Thank you, God, that you defeated death on the cross. And you rose again. And because of you, we have a life eternal coming. Thank you, Lord, that you're a God who listens, that you make good things and you make things good. That you've seen all my sin, all of my shame, all of my wrong. And you love me still. Lord, be the Lord of my life. I want to follow your way, not my way. Help me to spend the rest of my life discovering who you are. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Amen.